Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome to the podcast from the St. Louis Sportist, an occasionally smart, always irreverent look at sports in St. Louis and beyond. And now, your St. Louis Sportists.
And welcome to another episode of the St. Louis Sportist podcast. My name is Ron Cook, and I am joined by Joe Sperlin.
Hey, good to see everybody. Welcome.
Doug Lansdowne.
Happy to be here. We survived the floodwaters of West Plains over the weekend. Just starting to dry out.
That's good to hear. That was some gnarly looking video we saw coming out of.
It was nasty. Yep.
My goodness. And Tom Mathis.
Happy Masters Week, everybody.
It is Masters Week. Keith Farrell is on assignment. So, Keith, cheers.
Cheers. Cheers, Keith.
In this edition of the St. Louis Sportist Podcast, the Blues prove they can lose a game, but the playoffs are within reach. The Cardinals have high highs and low lows. It's time for a tradition unlike any other in Augusta. March Madness comes to a fitting end, and St. Louis City SC is in disarray. The St. Louis Sportists are brought to you by First Coast Steel Buildings. If you need a custom structure of almost any kind, Jason and his team will work with you to meet your specific needs. You can catch them at 912-314-4848 or 1stcoaststeel.com. Again, that's the number 1stcoaststeel.com, and we'll hear more from them later in the show, and we are coming to you tonight from the Local House Bistro Studios. They are our studio sponsors, and Tom, I know you've experienced this. Let's face it, Blues playoffs are just a lot more fun to watch. Surrounded by a lot of rowdy fellow Blues fans, and I'll tell you, there's some avid Blues fans up at the Local House Bistro. You'll get some good commentary up there. With seven screens in that main bar area, you know what? You will never miss a play. Local House Bistro is about to roll out a new menu, but I will bet you that it will still include steaks and pastas, fish, and all those bar favorites we love, like burgers and pizzas, lots of apps, and a great group up there that will take really good care of you. Tim, Holly, Jackie, Whitney, Darian, Cheyenne, Cooper, and Jacinda, all of this at 16524 Manchester Road. Eat local, drink local, and love local. The Local House Bistro. Time for quick hits. Joe Sperlin, what do you have?
We're going to talk about later the end of the NCAA tournament. It's a long basketball season, but I do not want anyone to take this the wrong way and use the word expansion. Please, this is not what I mean. But that 2 weeks of the NCAA tournament goes really fast. And they seem like they cram all those games in there, and it's over pretty quick. So one shining moment takes about less than 2 weeks. But I thought it was a good tournament. We'll talk about that later, obviously.
Yes, we will. Mr. Lansdowne.
I'll follow up on that and go with NCAA basketball. I was looking at the way too early top 25, and they were talking about players coming back and everything. And my boy, Chad Baker Mazzara from Auburn, still has 1 year of eligibility left. He will be 26. 26. And he has a year of eligibility left.
How?
And by then he'll be known as Dr. Chad.
I don't know. I read it like five times before I was going to comment on it. He has a year of eligibility left, and he'll be 26.
I think he has to go to BYU. That would be perfect.
Everybody else is.
True.
I think so. By the way, since Keith is not on the podcast, we can talk about him. Doug, we were standing down in the Thunderdome, and I was talking to Keith and his lovely wife, Amy, and the games were winding down on Saturday night, and we were talking about your town of West Plains, and I learned that he was not familiar with Porter Wagner.
Oh. Hard to believe. Can't
believe that?
That's unbelievable.
I thought the same thing. So, you know, it's kind of like, how do you explain Porter Wagner from scratch? I mean, think about that one for a second. So,
thank God there's YouTube videos.
Yeah, that well, and then you get into the whole Dolly Parton thing, you know, and the I Will Always Love You being written, you know, from Dolly to Porter and all that. And so I will just tell you right now, the Carroll County accident is on the playlist tomorrow. There's your tip off right there. Mr. Mathis.
I'm going to go NCAA basketball as well. And I know the tournament went chalk, but we got to that Final Four weekend, and it was probably about the best that we could ask for. Three great games, three pretty amazing endings that you couldn't have scripted. So that was enjoyable.
Yes, it was. You were on the edge of your seat for pretty much everything there.
For sure.
And so for mine, I'm going to go back to over the weekend as well. My lovely wife and I went out and came back and thought we'd have some whiskey and get into a deep philosophical conversation about world events, which is always a great idea. And she laid out a very passionate platform and said, "So what do you think, Ron?" And I said, "I think I really, really don't like the runner at second in extra innings." And so I want to give full credit, because I heard something in the last week, and this is from Kyle Reese on the Cardinal Nation podcast with Kyle Reese and Brian Walton. It comes out every Wednesday. It's a great podcast. If you like the farm system and like Cardinal prospects, it's a great thing to listen to. They get really deep. And they were talking about the runner on second, and Kyle referred to him as the Manfred man. And I have used that ever since. Kyle, that's absolutely brilliant. So, and also in the spirit of, we want to educate as well as entertain here on the Sportus podcast. So I am going to share with everyone the actual first verse of Blinded by the Light. It is blinded by the light, revved up like a deuce, another runner in the night. So in case you've ever wondered exactly, you know, blinded by the light, revved up like a deuce, another runner in the night. So there you have it. And that concludes the open mic portion of the Sportus podcast. Tom, save me. Let's talk about the Blues. Good run here. A couple of losses, but still, as someone wrote in one of the national publications, the Blues basically had to be perfect after the Four Nation, and they have been. I mean, as perfect as you can expect.
They really have been. I mean, you know, I think it was 14-2-2 at some point, and, you know, that's pretty incredible. And everybody's like, well, you know, their competition wasn't all that great, but they had Colorado a couple of times. They had the Kings. You know, they had some good teams in there, and they beat them. So I don't buy that lack of competition. And even the two games that they lost, they were at Winnipeg and at Edmonton. You know, they were close. They had a chance to win both of those games. You know, I think the Holloway injury, that worries me a lot. And that's what scares me at this point.
Well, and the other thing that I think it does is it shows just how important he's become to the Blues attack this year. and not only scoring, but he said that he had kind of gotten away from checking people. And in the last few weeks, he'd got back to hitting people. And he's been, he and Broberg both have been so much more than we really could have hoped for.
Oh, exactly. I mean, I kind of hoped that they would come in and contribute a little bit, but they both have been, you know, pretty, you know, some of the top players on the team. And, you know, it's been a great surprise.
What would you guys say is probably the number one thing that's turned it around? Because there was certain people on this podcast who said, they're not making the playoffs. There's no way. Let's look for next year. Let's clear the house. What do you think was probably the number one thing?
I think, first of all, I think Robert Thomas was not healthy. I think since he had that time off for the Four Nations tournament, he got healthy. I think they used that time, to, you know, to figure out some things. And I know, like, Montgomery gave his assistant coaches some things to work on. And, you know, like, he looked at the penalty killing and at the power play. And they did some tweaks, and, they, you know, it really worked. And these guys came back, and they really worked well together. And the most important part is Jobu. So, I mean, we got Jobu in the building. So, you know, we can't lose with him.
You know, and the combination of Jobu as well as staring through the cameras, my gosh, that is hilarious. And for those of you who haven't seen it, anytime there's a camera in the dressing room, whichever blue player that they hit will literally stare through the camera until they take the camera off of them. And it's become a thing. And then, it was Jake Neighbors that got upended and sent into the, Colorado goal. And he found the goal camera, and he, like, in-game stared into the goal camera, which there's a picture of it, and it's just epic. But it's almost, and I know everyone is kind of going out of their way to say this is not 2019. This is so different. But Tom, between Jobu and between, okay, I'm just going to throw this out there, and, you know, thoughts and prayers with Kelly Chase. Okay, you know, there's just so many things that are kind of like, you know, and Jobu, and it's just, you're kind of getting that vibe that this could be a team of destiny. If not, and even if it's not, man, this has been a lot of fun.
It has been a lot of fun. And I'll even throw Montgomery, you know, coming in halfway through the season like Berube did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when that change was made, I don't think there's any of us that thought that they'd won the cup with Berube. And then he brought that team, he brought them together. And, you know, after the first of the year, they started clicking.
Yeah.
And what this team has done.
I can tell you why they lost those games at Winnipeg and Edmonton is because there's so many things to do during the day there in your off time. that's what caused them those two wins there.
But it's amazing that Jobu still, after 35 years, still has it.
They need to get Chelsea Ross and Dennis Haysbert in. I mean, they have got to get those guys in. I know Chelsea's still kicking because he's still acting occasionally, I think. And heck, Haysbert, you know he is. But before we get leave the subject of the Blues, Tom, I want to say you're absolutely right, because I saw some statistics today on Robert Thomas. And basically, you know, and I'm not going to bore people because we're not, you know, getting into expected goals and all of that. He has been an elite level player in the National Hockey League in like the last 12 to 15 games. He's playing as well as anyone in the league. And it's made quite a, he has become who they thought he could be, which we were wondering if he ever would. And picked a really good time to do it also.
He did. You're right. I think it's 37 points in the last 20 games, something like that, which it's unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. That's who are you and what have you done with Robert Thomas? So, but we'll take it. We'll take it.
That's right.
So, Doug, leaving positive, happy subjects, we go to the St. Louis Cardinals. And I have to say that I have watched baseball since 1975. I have never seen anything like the play with Thomas Sajacy at home plate yesterday.
That was interesting. Yeah. I think you got to give Key Brian Hayes all the credit for having the wherewithal to grab the ball and tag him. You know,
a Gold Glove winner there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and it's kind of a little, it sums up the season so far. It's almost a microcosm.
You know, we thought they would be a 500 team. I thought they might be a few games above 500. I think they're going to be a few games below 500. They're superstars or the ones you think maybe there are their best players. They're not in the superstar realm. And then their average players are below average. And the pitching is kind of like we thought. So they're gonna win some. They're going to lose some. They're going to be a little below 500.
Yeah, Tom, that was a little bit of a lost weekend there in Boston.
It was, you know, and they really don't, you know, they go to Baltimore and they get blasted out. They go to Boston and they get blasted out. They want Colorado, they get blasted out. When they go into tough hitters' ballparks, they just, I don't know if it's mentality or what, but they just kind of fold underneath that pressure. And then you start laying all that on the bullpen and they just, you know, they can't handle all the pressure and all the innings that they're throwing.
Yeah, and we're not going to pile on Miles Michaelis. Who am I kidding? Of course we are. In that Sunday game, Boston hit 19 balls over 100 miles per hour. That's insane. And I forget who it was that said that they could just, like, in their mind, hear the ball hitting, that sound of the ball hitting the monster.
Yep. Hearing that ting.
Yeah.
And we talked about it when we were texting that day. We're like, well, we need Miles to go a few innings. And then we're like, well, we need Gordon Graceffo to be the long man to go four or five innings today. And neither one of them worked. So,
no, it was one of the ugliest line scores. It was the line score that if you were playing a video game on a level that you shouldn't be playing,
and you couldn't hit reset.
Right. Right. Yeah. You hadn't done the accidental trip over the cord yet. So I will say this about Michaelis, and this is not an original thought because I've heard it from many people up here. He is dangerously close to the Adam Wainwright situation of Waino's last year when he had his ERA up around 7 for most of the season, because it looks like I think of the old Jack Buck line, hitters were running up to the plate to hit off of him.
I don't know, but I think maybe the four or five of us, we could probably do a pretty good job in the box against him. So
I could make contact, I think.
It might be weak contact, but that's okay.
Yeah, if nothing else, I'd do what I did in my entire high school career and hit a foul ball that, like, kind of hit at my feet and rolled off to the side. Joe, are you seeing anything around Major League Baseball as our kind of baseball at large correspondent? Anything catching your eye?
Well, you talk about the Cardinals, and correct me, didn't they beat the ace from Pittsburgh the other night?
Yeah, Paul Skeens can't beat the Cardinals.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. I mean, he's supposed to be the best pitcher in baseball.
He is the best pitcher.
You see this National League, maybe, but I don't know. But some
Cardinals have always done that. They've always, like, if it was a star pitcher, Randy Johnson, somebody like that, they'll hit them around. You bring up a lefty from the minor leagues that hasn't been above A ball, and they shut the Cardinals down. And it's been that way for the last 25, 30 years.
Tom Mathis, because you and I remember things like this and nothing from what we learned in actual school, the day after, and it was a game of the week, after the famous Terry Pendleton home run against Roger McDowell in 1987 against the Mets, you remember who pitched for the Mets? It was Mr. Dwight Gooden, and the Cardinals knocked him out. He didn't last more than like 3 2/3.
Right.
And Joe, your old Cincinnati Red first baseman, Dan Dreesen, had like a couple of like big hits against him. I don't know what it was, but the Cardinals had a really good record against Gooden. Tom's exactly right. I don't know what it is, but yeah, you know, now I will say Kane from San Francisco, he's the one guy that we just couldn't solve. I was afraid we were going to get no hit every time we went up against him.
Yeah. But, you know, it's the junk ballers that have always bothered them.
Oh, yeah.
Fastballs, they'll hit them all over the place. But you start throwing junk balls and they won't hit anything.
Oh, yeah. With Jamie Moyer, 45 minutes into the game, you're in the seventh inning and we've got one hit.
Exactly. Yeah. And
don't that was 100 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but Dwight Gooden, no problem.
Yep, that's right.
Jack Clark's just hit one off the stadium club. Boom. So, Doug, a tradition unlike any other, the Masters on CBS.
Yeah, and you know, this morning they were all talking about there's going to be three or four guys shoot eight under. And Justin Rose was there, but he fell back. But there ended up only being seven guys break 70. So wow. It played tough. You know, Rory double bogey two of the last four coming in, and yeah, it played tough. And I think everybody enjoys the Masters better when it plays tough like that. But I hope Justin Rose wins. He's a really good guy. Good mm-hmm. dude, good for the game. I mean, I hope he goes wire to wire and wins it.
Doug, I didn't catch this and didn't run it back, and I wouldn't know if I'm right. Did they say Shambleau had seven birdies today?
I think he had eight. He had seven or eight. Yes.
And then of course, he had his four or five bogeys with that.
Yeah. He ended up three under. He shot 69. So.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought I heard him say, and I was like, wait, what was that?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he had eight birdies and shot 69. There was only six of them that shot below 70 today. So,
if we were on video, you could see that I am raising my old fashioned to Fred Couples right now.
Yeah.
How about Boom Boom?
Yep.
I heard early he was going pretty good. Did he end up?
He shot one under.
Did he?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yep. He shot one under. So,
Doug, yeah, was Fred Couples the one that I think you were following him in Tulsa and he turned and cussed somebody out in the gallery for talking during the swing?
Yes, it was. Yep. Yep, that was him.
This is my one semi-technical question. I had heard that when the hurricane went through, it took out a bunch of trees, and particularly on Uncle Vern's number 16, that had actually like impacted some of the wind through there. That so like a bunch of those guys were basically playing it with wind they had never seen before. Is that a big deal, or is that something that they get out of the way in the practice rounds?
I think they figured out in the practice round. So Xander Schauffele said when he was walking down number 10 on Tuesday, he looked around, he realized he could see all the rest of the back nine. He said, I've never been able to see the other holes before. So wow. I think it's more of an aesthetics thing. I don't think there's any trees that got taken out that really in play. But yeah, they figured that out in the practice round. But they did put the pin on 16 as far back and left as they ever have. I think they said they'd had it there once in the last 30 years. So they were trying to make it a little tougher.
And Doug, you can, once again, we're leaning on you on this segment. They were talking about how Rory had studied the way Scheffler handles course management, and that he was actually kind of trying to learn course management from Scheffler, which kind of blows me away considering how accomplished Rory is. What exactly were they talking about there? I mean, I understand course management, but I'm surprised that someone like Rory would at this point in his career be doing that.
It's his short irons. He tries to, they said he's trying to figure out how to flight his short irons and control the spin more than he ever has. Because that's what Scotty does. Scotty hits it pin high every time, hits it right by the flag every time. And Rory might knock it 2 feet from the hole, but then he may spin it 30 feet past. So that's what he was trying to do. And he was fine. He was rolling, like I said, and then he double bogeyed 15 and 17. So, and it was his chipping. He made some bad chips.
Yeah. Try not from a guy who's done it. Don't chip it in the water.
Well, Scotty has to have that short iron game because if he had to rely any much more on his putting, he wouldn't win as much as he does. I
mean, so you haven't seen any highlights today, have you?
I have not.
He made 250 footers.
Yeah. Did he really?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. And the first one he made, if it hadn't hit the hole, it would have went 20 feet.
It would have went off the back of the green. Yeah.
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 Wow.
Oh, my.
Better to be lucky than good.
Yep.
So, Douglas, who's going to be in Butler Cabin on Sunday afternoon?
Well, like I said, I hope it's Justin Rose, but I think it's either going to be Scheffler or DeChambeau.
Interesting. Well, we shall see.
It'd be hard to go against Scheffler.
Boy, he's on one of those rolls that, you know, kind of like when Jordan Spieth was on that roll back about what, I hate to say this, but about what, 10 years ago now?
Yeah. But Scheffler's been on a roll longer than what Spieth was.
That's true. Yeah. So, well, I think we all know how we're spending our Sunday, unless, of course, you're going down to watch St. Louis City. Speaking of, we will take a look at them in the next segment. And also in the next segment, or in the next segment, Joe Sperlin will take us through the NCAA Basketball Championship and March Madness. We'll talk about all of that after we hear from the good folks at First Coast Steel Buildings. We'll be right back.
Are you in the market for a barn dominium, house, garage, man cave, carport, or hobby shop? Wondering how to get started or where to go? Whatever you are looking to design, look no further than First Coast Steel Buildings. Give Jason and his team a call at 912-314-4848. They will guide you through the process, designing your building to fit your specific needs and budget. Call them today at 912-314-4848. Or get inspirational ideas and start designing your own by visiting them at firstcoaststeel.com. Again, that's the number one, S-T, coaststeel.com. Their low-cost buildings are fully galvanized steel, providing you with worry-free, low-maintenance requirements, integrity, quality, and a family-first approach. First Coast Steel Buildings. 912-314-4848 or firstcoaststeel.com. Discounts for military and first responders.
And we are back on the St. Louis Sportist podcast. We are here with Joe Sperlin, Doug Lansdowne, and Tom Mathis. My name is Ron Cook. Joe Sperlin, one shining moment, Monday night.
I think the four number one seeds, I think everybody was, the games were what they expected. They were close. They were exciting. Some things happened that people weren't really looking, weren't expecting. But I'll say this, Houston themselves, if you know what I mean.
Is that like Clemsoning?
Yes. They got happened to them, if I'm saying that right, what they have done to people for years now. Kind of like they did to Duke.
Yep.
For sure.
And it wasn't, it was like we were talking with some guys. It seems like now at the end of games, you don't find a way to win. You just try not to lose. Kind of like Duke did. Duke messed up. Houston messed up. They turned the ball over the last four times they had the ball in the last minute and a half. And that's usually what Houston does to people. And, you know, as we're sitting there with all the coaches watching the game, whether you're a coach or not, everyone thought they were a coach. And it was, what do you do? Do you take a three? And I said, well, you look to a three, you drive to the basket, they're going to be up there fouling you. And they're not going to let you shoot a three, go to the basket, get your bucket, or dish it out to somebody. And Houston just was not going to drive to the basket.
That's been probably their best offenses all year is run in there and throw something up and let all them long-haired brothers come in there and grab it and slam it because that's what they do best.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
But see, when I thought, with about 8 seconds left, and when there started to be panic setting in, and you could say, I think I even heard someone say where I was watching it, they're not going to get a shot off.
Yeah.
And by golly, they didn't.
You know, I thought, so at halftime, you know, they were only up three, And when you think about it, I thought they've played really, really well. They've turned Florida over a ton, and they're only up three. And I know they got up. I know they got up 12 middle of the second half, but I thought in the first half, I thought, man, they should be up more than three as good as they've played.
Yeah. And there was times in those games, and I'll say this, in the games there at the end, and I'm not just talking about the championship game, but I'm talking about the Elite Eight and all that. Man, those teams come down and they throw it around three times, and then someone jacks up a three. And then they come down at the other end, and they pass it around, and they ball screen it, and someone jacks up a fadeaway three. And it hits the back of the rim, and it bong. And, I mean, we were kind of keeping track, and it was like five times in a row Florida and Houston come down and took a really bad three-point shot. And we kept saying, man, it's almost kind of starting to turn into the NBA a little bit.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, that – and, you know, not to mention the fact that traveling is not being called in college basketball anymore. I mean, the line between the NBA and college is really kind of disappearing.
Well, and college is starting to get this, too, of we dare you to call a foul every time. Mm-hmm. You're not going to do it.
So if we come away from this Final Four, is the Duke collapse going to be the thing we'll remember? Or is there something else?
If that had been in the championship game, maybe. Being in the, you know, the semifinals, I don't think it would. I still think it's going to be, it was a Carter who, you know, dropped the ball when he went up to shoot. I think that's probably going to be, to me, it's more, you know, it's kind of like, I remember Chris Webber's timeout. That's what I compare it to right there.
You know, it's funny because Keith and I said the exact same thing downstairs. We're like, that was the Chris Webber timeout of this generation. At which point some of the younger kids said, what?
Porter Wagner.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not ready for Wake Up Jacob. That's the second. That's phase two. So Joe and Doug, as our college basketball experts, if we're kind of summing up this entire season, looking back, What are your thoughts? I mean, this was we had a few elite teams, but if you look back at the preseason top 25, they didn't necessarily get that right.
I think you got to give credit to Florida's coach because I mean, he had all the pieces, and he figured it out going into the season. You know, they had the three guards and the four guards, one came off the bench, and the five bigs, and he had every piece he needed, and you know, he made it work.
Well, and they were probably in the last month was probably the best team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you can sit there and say the four that were in the Final Four were it, but Auburn kind of stubbed their toe there at the end, and Duke, they kind of questioned who they were playing, and you know, and then it was Houston and Florida. And, yeah, I think, like you said, the four best teams were in there. I think that's what people like to see.
Yeah, definitely.
Tom, I figured you'd go back to Missouri beating Kansas as, like, the highlight of the season.
Well, that's funny you would say that because I was just going to say Mizzou beat Florida, the national champions, and they beat Kansas. It was a very successful season for the Tigers.
It's hard to argue with that. Before we leave college sports, there was something I dropped in our chat today, and this just kind of we talk about college basketball becoming like the NBA. Did you see that certain coaches are floating the possibility of college football teams having an exhibition game?
Well, Dion is trying to play Syracuse in an exhibition game, and the NCAA said no. So they might try it. I don't know.
I don't see how you can fit that in there and make another week, and I don't know when you would do that. I don't like that idea, but.
They were talking about Kurt Ferentz was talking about a big scrimmage they had when people showed up and everything. And he turned to an assistant and said, we should be doing this against Missouri. And then they get into, well, that would be an opportunity to sell sponsorships, and it could be on TV and
tickets.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
They already have those games. Now they're getting where they can't play the 1AA schools. That's their money game. That's their scrimmage game. They can play that week zero, week one, or week two, and then they get the same thing. They don't care who they're playing. People are still going to show up.
That's right. They will.
Back to things we like to shock whippersnappers with, or basically anyone under a certain age. I go back to when the National Football League played 6 preseason games. And when they cut it down to 4, I believe, and Tom, you can check my work on this, I believe it was Shula and Landry that complained that there was no way to get their team ready with fewer than 6 preseason games.
Landry was the name that popped in my head right away. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. So and now I've lost track of how many games the NFL is expanding their regular. Are they talking what, 18 now?
18.
Dear Lord, the record book is going to be obsolete.
Yeah, that's what you run into.
Yeah.
Oh, 2,000 yard rushers are going to proliferate.
Yeah.
Well, I will cover St. Louis City briefly because, to be brutally candid, that's all they deserve. St. Louis City went to Kansas over the weekend, and they lost again.
Not to the worst team in the league.
Yes, the worst team in the league that had just fired their coach of 17 years, and they lost 2-0.
Zero.
City SC is now 2-3-2. They have been shut out in 5 of their first 7 games. It has been, are you ready for this, 346 minutes since they have scored.
That's not very good, is it?
That's not very, and it was on a free kick. It was a beautiful goal by Edward Leuven. Who's no longer, well, I shouldn't say he's no longer, he's away, his wife is very ill, and you know, on behalf of the sport, his thoughts and prayers with Edward Leuven and his family. But 366 minutes ago, the team has been shut out in 5 of their first 7 games. In their first 7 games, they have scored 4 goals this season, as Keith and I talked about. 3 of those 4 goals came in 1 game. The only thing they're piling up is injuries. 6 injured players. That's Berkey, Totland, Jaden Reed. Jaden Reed may be coming back, which would be huge to get him on the back line. Giannis Horn, Rasmus Alm, who has been injured more than he's been healthy, but great name, Rasmus Alm. And unfortunately, Chris Durkin, and as we mentioned, Edward Leuven, who's away with his family. 15 teams in the Western Conference. Your St. Louis City SC is 11th. And, you know, we've got a game Sunday night. It's going to be 76 degrees. And who comes to town? The Columbus Crew. Oh, yeah, they're first place in the Eastern Conference. 4 wins, no losses, 3 draws.
So where does the blame lie?
You know, I have learned that there are multiple answers in a situation like this. And, you know, Keith said they're getting the chances and they're not converting. And we saw some of that in this, you know, game in Kansas. But also, I think, you know, this team was not hustling, believe it or not. And I want to credit the guys on Ball Watching that we did our season preview with, because I listened to their podcast and we noticed this downstairs and we were watching. This was not a motivated, hitting on all cylinders team in what they call a derby game against like a big rival. This was, and they were just kind of floating a little bit out there. So they're not really terribly motivated, and I contend, and you know, and this is one where Keith and I go back and forth. I say that the new defensive scheme, while preventing goals, is kind of inhibiting the offense. Keith says we're getting our chances and not finishing. Whatever it is, it ain't working. We need to do something different.
Yeah.
Score a goal. That's my sage advice. Score a goal.
More headers. More headers.
Yes, and remember, on a corner, Doug, you always had it down and away from the goalie.
That's down and away.
Again, that's the second thing we'll teach you after the lyrics to Blinded by the Light. So, on that note, let's take our last call. Brought to you by the Local House Bistro. Joe Sperlin, what do you have for a last call?
I know, hey, I keep asking for the same thing at the last call, and it's got to be the portal again. I saw 35% of Division I players are in the portals for men, 25% for women. And keep on this last call, it's going to keep being hearing about the changes that they're trying to do. I just remember when the reason they call it NIL was name, image, and likeness. It was because guys wanted a little bit of money for all the jerseys they sold. You know, they wanted to get paid for their name. They wanted to get paid for their image on a t-shirt. They wanted to get a little bit of money at that. They wanted to have likeness of doing some commercials. I don't think the idea was to get in the portal and go play somewhere else for $4 million and go somewhere every year for five different years. And the NCAA, and they're trying to get it all together. It's going to take a while. They're talking salary cap. They're talking about all this other stuff. Hey, lawyers are going to, I mean, this is going to take forever, but hopefully they're doing the right thing. You know, I don't believe the idea of this was a high school kid to get $12 million to go quarterback at Michigan. I don't think that was the plan. Or a guy to leave Texas Tech for more money and then say, nope, I'm coming back because they're going to pay me $4 million.
Yeah, something went wrong somewhere.
Something big.
Yeah. And hopefully they're trying to get that under control. It's going to take a while.
But the problem is the NCAA, they never had a plan.
No.
You know, it came out and they just went wild. You know, it's like a wildfire, and they just never stopped it.
Well, I'm sure somebody said, will this turn into free agency? And someone said, there's no way in hell they'll pay this guy $1 million to go play somewhere else. Who would do that? That's the craziest thing ever.
Right. But they have.
Yep.
Many, many times over. Doug, what do you have?
I read today where Deshaun Watson said he was motivated by all the naysayers. So I'm glad he's finally found some motivation.
To do what, though?
I don't know. They didn't finish that, but he's motivated by the naysayers. So maybe the worst contract in the history of professional sports. It's got to be close. It's got to be close. But he's motivated by the naysayers to prove them wrong. So, but Joe's right. To prove him wrong, what? I don't know.
But didn't he tear his Achilles?
Is again. Out
for how many season?
I don't know. They've been really, really quiet about that.
Maybe they could get someone to massage his Achilles. Oh, never mind.
No.
Ron, can you edit that out? I'll scratch that. I'm going to scratch that.
Erase that.
Edit it. That's the title of this week's episode.
We're on thin ice with the FTC after me using Redskins, twice. So, Mr. Mathis, please save us. Please elevate this discussion.
Well, I'm going to go back to the Blues. Big weekend for them. Tomorrow night or Saturday night's game in Seattle. They have a chance to, if Calgary or... Well, Calgary or Minnesota is going to lose. Just hopefully they don't go into overtime and get one, each of them get a point. But they could have a good weekend with the win up in Seattle, come home for the last three games of the season, and maybe get healthy a little bit.
Yeah, that would be nice. And, then I have to tell you, playoff hockey is just one of the best things in sports.
Well, it's great when the Blues are in it, but I still watch it if they're not.
You have to because of the tension and the drama, and especially, and then if it goes into overtime where literally every shot is something. But the fact that, you know, kind of like it's different from baseball in that you've got a day or two to kind of like consider everything that happened before the next game.
Yeah. Yeah. you have time to think about it, you know, think about it and what your plan is going to be for the next game and against whom you're going to play, make those plans against.
And then, you know, God forbid you have like a shaky performance in goal and it's like, gee, do we start Hofer?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Is it time? Is it time? You know, so.
But the way Bennington's been playing, I don't think it is.
Yeah.
But you never know.
No. And I expect him, you know, and that, believe it or not, that's a question that came up down in the dome. We're like, are we going to like go between goalies? And I'm like, no, are you kidding me? This is Bennington time.
Yeah. And that's why Hofer's playing a couple games right now. Is because Bennington's gearing up for the playoff runs.
Yep. Get him ready. Get him hydrated. Get him focused. Get him ready to go.
That's right.
So mine is something that I'm going to go back to when Doug visited up here. And I've talked to a few people in the Thunderdome. And believe it or not, this is like a kind of an underground thing that apparently is not so underground. But it's like a kind of a favorite among us baseball fans. And that is on MLB Network, a show called Quick Pitch. And it's something that, you know, of course, ESPN and their infinite wisdom stops doing Baseball Tonight, which was their only baseball exclusive show. And so MLB Network picked up the slack there, and they've started a show after their last game called Quick Pitch. Abby Labar is the host last year and this year, and it's 1 hour of nothing but baseball, and it's what I would call extended highlights of a game. So, you know, typically on your local news or when you're watching, you know, on SportsCenter, they will show someone hitting a home run and the final strikeout to end the game, and that will be the highlights of the game. But on Quick Pitch, you get a pretty good little synopsis of the game. And I love the way they bounce back and forth between the announcers. You'll get the radio, you'll get the TV, and you'll get really good calls from whoever has basically like the best call of the play. So anyway, that's something. And Jamie and I will just sit there and stay up way too late watching Quick Pitch.
I've woken up in the mornings and started watching Quick Pitch. It's been a couple years since I've done it, but I used to do it almost every morning during the baseball season.
Yeah, it's just a great, and the thing is, it's you can learn a lot about what's going on in a short period of time. Yeah. So the following or the preceding message was paid for by MLB Network.
One quick note. Did you guys see that the MLB has floated selling the MLB TV package?
No.
Yeah, I saw that today. The Athletic had a story about it, and they're trying to, you know, get it with the network who would buy the package, the television package, and then they'll add that to whatever the network would want.
Wow.
I told you Rob Manfred's not very good at his job?
He is not. And I will say, I used to love the MLB app. It is so hard to navigate now. I don't hardly go there.
I canceled my subscription 2 years ago.
Did you really?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's just it used to be the best app out there.
Yep.
And now it's unnavigable.
I will hang on to those $19 and spend them on something better.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, everyone, it's Masters weekend. Make the most of it, enjoy it, and if I would recommend playing a song by Porter Wagner other than Carroll County Accident or Wake Up Jacob. There's many. He has a great catalog. Some of his collaborations with Dolly Parton are really good.
Duly.
That's the case. So, Joe Spurling, thank you, sir.
Always good to visit with the St. Louis Sportists.
Doug Lansdowne.
Proud to be here.
And Tom Mathis.
Great to be here. Love talking with you guys.
And we want to thank all of you for spending a few minutes with us. Our website is stlsportists.com. We want to thank you for listening and take care.
And that wraps another episode of the St. Louis Sportist Podcast. Please like and subscribe to stay up to date on all the latest episodes. You can find these guys on all major podcast platforms. And thanks for listening.